Juliana. Come on up, Juliana. Juliana's going to be sharing us with this morning. And Juliana is a product of faith that is taught and caught. You know, Brian and Candace have been a part of our church for a long time, and, you know, they have invested a lot in their kids, and your faith is being passed on, not just for you, but grandparents and other people who have invested in Juliana, Sunday school teachers and others. And Juliana spent the last year dedicating herself to her faith, investing in it for the year of intense discipleship, right? And what an investment it was. And I was excited when Juliana came back. Well, she knew when she was leaving that when she came back, I would be saying to her, you know what's going to happen, don't you, Juliana? She's like, yes, you're going to make me talk. I said, exactly. So she came and spoke to our youth group, and she did a fabulous job. And I said, you know what's going to happen now? She's like, you're going to make me do it again. I said, that's right, because it's good news to hear, and it's great stuff. And I'm just so proud of you, Juliana. You're a wonderful, articulate young woman, and you've got a great message to share with us this morning. We're excited that you're taking that risk and doing it with us. And you got friends and family here who support and love you.
Yes.
So, exactly. And a big cheerleading crowd right in the front, right, girls? That's right. So I'm going to pray for you, and then we look forward to you sharing with us. Thank you, Father, so much for Juliana, and just thank you for her family and friends. Thank you for the good work that you've done in her life and for the amazing experience she's had over the last year with YWAM, the things that you've shown her, and just how she can be used to influence your kingdom for your sake. And we just thank you for the words and the message she brings us this morning. May our hearts be changed. May we be encouraged to follow you in radical discipleship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. So my name is Juliana. Let me get this on. Oh, looking. We have some technical difficulties already.
Is it on?
There we go.
There we go.
Awesome. So, like they've said, my name's Juliana, and I recently got back from a six-month missions trip with Youth with a Mission. So I've been asked to share a little bit about some of the things God did, but unfortunately I can't fit everything from 6 months in a 30-minute presentation. So I'll give you a little summary of some of the things that happened while I was away. So to give you a little explanation of what YWAM is like, it's a 3-month lecture phase and then a 3-month outreach. So you have different speakers every week during the lecture phase. And some of the topics include hearing God's voice, fear of the Lord, character and nature of God, identity in Christ, and Father, heart of God. So for me, before I did this, I really wanted to do a discipleship training school because I wanted to grow in my intimacy with God and just know God for myself and not what people had told me about him. So one of the biggest things I had taken away from lecture phase was just knowing how much God desires to be in a relationship with us, and how my identity in Christ is a child of God. So this is my school called A Voice for the Voiceless. So our school uses media to advocate for injustices around the world. So some of these injustices are racism, refugees, sex trafficking, homelessness, poverty, and persecuted Christians. So my school did this through photo stories and documentaries, interviews, that sort of thing. The verse that my school was founded on was Proverbs 31, verse 9, speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy. So within my school, we had teams go to Nepal, India, Uganda, Malaysia, Indonesia, Mexico, Thailand, Germany, and South Africa. So a lot of different places within that group. So I'm just going to show you a quick video. My team and I started our 3-month outreach phase in Germany, and here's a little video that will give you an idea of what Germany was like for us.
Thank you.
Okay. So, I'm sure you've all heard a little bit about the Syrian refugee crisis. So I'll just give you a little bit of a background information. So the population of Syria was 17 million before the war. And out of that population, 11 million people have had to flee this country and seek refuge in other countries. So as you can imagine, Germany is just bursting at the seams with the steady stream of refugees coming in. So as you could see from the video, they were all learning German in the classes. That's where they were writing and stuff like that. So before I got to Germany, I had a lot of preconceptions of what these people would be like. So I wondered if they would talk to me because I didn't wear a hijab like they did, or if they would be quiet and depressed because of all the violence they had seen. But as you can see from the video, they are normal people just like us who love to enjoy life and laugh. They've just been forced out of their country, and they're only seeking acceptance and safety. So as Christians, we're called to share the love of Jesus with everyone regardless of religion. And that's what my team did. So this is a little picture of what our Christmas celebration looked like. So this was their first Christmas ever, which was so cool to be able to share with them because they come from Muslim countries, so they don't celebrate any Christian holidays. So we kind of did our own Operation Christmas Child, as I'm sure you guys know what that is, where you pack the little boxes and they go all over the world. So my leader, she was German, so she had a bunch of her friends just prepare these boxes for all the refugee children in the area, which was really cool. So here's a picture of me sharing the Christmas story and what Christmas meant to me, and it was being translated into two different languages. So this little boy was so confused of what a Christmas gift was, and he didn't know like what to do with it. We're like, take it, take it. And then this little boy was so excited to have his Christmas gift. He was just, you can see it in his face. And he kept asking us, can I have one for my mom? One for my mom. And we had only prepared them for the kids. But it was really cool to see because normally in these Muslim countries, they don't really respect women very much. And it was really cool to see the love and compassion he had for his mother. And here's just some families that joined us. So here are some of the refugees that came to the Christmas Eve service. So we just walked over to the church, and when we got to the church was completely packed, and not just with German people, but completely packed with refugees. And it was so cool to see. I just remember sitting in the church service and like looking around and being like, wow, God, you're amazing, like bringing all these Muslim refugees to celebrate your birth on Christmas Eve. That was super cool for me. So this woman in the middle there with the white head covering, her name is Halima, and she's 28 years old. Because the cost of coming to Germany from Syria is so high, she had to leave her husband and her children back in Lebanon while she traveled with her 8-year-old son while she was 7 months pregnant. So you can't really tell in this picture, but she's very pregnant. So we ended up getting the opportunity to just bless her and spoil her baby. So we bought a bunch of clothing for them, and just anything that you might need with having a baby. And it was really cool to see just how thankful she was. And she cried and gave us all hugs. So here's a little boy. His name was Ahmed. He comes from Afghanistan, and he had a very difficult time coming over to Germany with his family. It was very, very dangerous for him. The police actually found them, and they were sent back. They had to cross the Mediterranean Sea twice because the Coast Guards found them. And it cost them $30,000 for their family to come over. So absolutely crazy. It's hard to believe these stories when you just look at these people because you wouldn't have noticed that all these bad things happened to him. So he actually drew everything that he saw. So he had a lot of pictures and paintings that he had drawn. As you can see in this picture, there's people drowning around his boat, and all those flags are pictures of the countries that he crossed through to get to Germany from Afghanistan. So here is another special family that we met. The dad was actually a university professor in Syria. They had 5 kids under the age of 8, which is crazy. I come from a family of 5 kids, and I can't imagine all being under the age of 8 and fleeing violence. So they had a very busy family, and we got to bond with them very well. So this bed that they're sitting on here is the bed that they shared so that all their children could have their own beds. The last night that we were in Germany, we were able to share the Easter Story movie with them that we had in Arabic, which was super cool because that was their mother tongue. Yeah, so the movie kind of explained what it was like to live a life with Jesus and what Jesus had did for them. So afterwards, we handed out Bibles in Arabic, too, and he was so excited to get one. He was, like, kissing the Bible and so excited, and they explained to us that they were Christians, too. So that was really cool to see. And then here's some photos of their sweet children. I just wanted to include them. So for me, I really wanted to spend as much time with the kids as I could. Yeah, just letting them laugh and play and enjoy life, because most of their earliest memories were from war and violence. So, yeah. And we spent a lot of time just praying over these children and asking God to cleanse their minds from the things they had seen in their war-torn countries. This is another family that we met, and they lived in a very, very small apartment. So this picture here pretty much shows the extent of their apartment. Nothing more, just that little living quarters. I wasn't allowed to take a photo of their faces because their husband was actually killed in Afghanistan, and they were in severe danger of being found. But we were able to pray with them and ask God for a new house that would suit their needs better, because this was just way too small for the two of them. In a very short amount of time, we got word that they actually had found a new place to live, which is basically unheard of with refugee housing. You get what you get, basically. So that was a huge answer to prayer for us. So next, we went to South Africa. So I just want to let you know that this song was a huge hit in South Africa. Don't judge me. I just felt wrong not to include this song. So I hope you enjoy it.
Thank God I made it. Oh, you know, in a bonus spirit. And nothing just control it. It's in my blood now. Thank God I made it. Oh, in a bonus spirit. And nothing just control.
I'm down in the beer.
Down in the building.
It's in my blood, it's in my blood, hey. This one was in my blood, yeah. It's in my blood now, it's in my blood, it's in my blood, this one was in my blood, yeah.
Thank God I made it, oh, in a better spirit, I love you, just control it, it's in my blood now. Thank God I made it, oh, in a better spirit, I love you, just control it.
There's a huge contrast in the society. So, for example, here's one of the pictures of one of the biggest cities in South Africa called Cape Town. And in this city, you would find any shopping center, lots of luxury cars, any store you would want. Whereas if you drive about 5 minutes away, you would see something like this. So this is called a township where thousands of people live. within this community, there's no electricity, no running water, and outdoor bathrooms. So this is a result of something called the apartheid, where the government separated the people based on skin color. So the black people were forced into these townships where the white people were allowed to live in the big cities. So unfortunately, due to corrupt government, it's still pretty much this way, and they're very segregated to this day. It's very difficult to see the racism that is in South Africa, but it's just so ingrained in the history, and it's really hard for people to see any differently or live life differently. So, like I said, it was very difficult for me to comprehend the separate communities, but then I realized it wasn't much different to what had happened in Canada with the Aboriginal people. So this video is an interview that we did with a special girl who grew up in the townships. So she shares a little bit about what it's like to grow up in a society where nobody really expects you to become anything.
I would like to see people to stop selling drugs to children. Because they get addicted to the drugs. Young children at my age choose to be thieves. I would open up a community center for young children to inspire young minds. My name is Nasipi. I live in Fuleni in Cape Town. Originally, I come from Eastern Cape in the villages of Kofimva. After 2 months you've been born, you have to cut out your finger. And then you become 5 to 6 years old, and then the old people slaughter a goat. And then they cook the goat, but for the child, the meat is tender. It's not too tender. It's hard to eat. And then it is put on a bowl that is big enough for the child. And then you have to eat the meat. Though it is hard, you have to eat till you finish. Then they will know that you are growing up. I want to be a doctor to help people. Yeah, that's my dream. And if ever there will be someone to stop me, I would always, always have faith to Jesus.
I don't want to really get too deep into what the Xhosa culture is like, but it's heavily based off of witchcraft and ancestral worship. And it's really destroyed their view on God and how they see God. And yeah, they just believe they have to do all these rituals and things to protect themselves from evil spirits when it's really God in complete control. So part of our mission was to help these kids just dream for a better future within these communities. So the work that we did in these townships was helping the kids with their homework, doing children's programs with them, discipleship training, mentorship programs for the boys in the gangs, because there's a lot of single mothers and not a lot of male role models in those communities. We did Bible teachings, and we shared our testimonies with them. So here's some cute kids that we met that I wanted to include. So this is actually a funny story. I asked her to smile for me, and she gave me this face. And then she was convinced she saw me on TV. She was like, I've seen you on TV. You're a movie star. I was like, no. Okay, whatever. And here's another kid. I love this guy so much. Yeah, here's another one. They always wanted to take selfies. And I was like, oh, I feel like I'm pretty tanned right now. No. So part of being a media discipleship training school was we would give them the photos that we took of them. So we would always, anytime we took a photo, we would give it back to that person. And for this couple, it was their first photos they had of themselves, which was super cool. Dave pointed out when I was speaking at youth that they have the same faces in their photos. So again, South Africa has a lot of crazy music, and it would feel wrong not to include the music that we heard every day on repeat. So here's another video.
Here we are again. We've met and I got my dancing shoes on. Baby, let's get down. Catch a week, girl, boy, do bring the swag. Everyone gon' bring it to the magic jam. Get down. Catch a week, girl, boy, do bring the swag. Everyone gon' bring it to the magic jam. Get down. Tag a friend you need who'll be a crack. Everyone be smiling and singing. Get down.
Was in White River, South Africa. So as you can see by the video, it's a lot more rural than Cape Town was, as the elephants and the lions and stuff like that. So there was also a lot of very energetic kids, just very hungry for attention, and a lot of hard family situations, and a little bit of culture shock for my team and I. So this is the cabin that I stayed in while I was in White River, and we were working with an organization called 10,000 Homes. So 10,000 Homes has a huge impact on their community as they build homes for children who have been raising their younger siblings because their parents have died off from HIV or AIDS. So siblings as young as 11 or 10 are forced to raise their younger siblings by themselves. So 10,000 Homes will come in and build them a safe shelter for them. They also hand out like gift cards for food for the kids, and basically provide mentorship. So we would do home visits about once a week just to check up on them and see how they were doing. So here's one of the communities that we worked in, and it was called Dwaleni. So in the corner, you can see the mamas cooking over open fire. Part of what we were doing is we were doing feeding programs. So every day when the kids would come home from school, these moms would literally make food for the entire community, which is absolutely amazing. So this is about 1/3 of the children that normally came to these feeding programs. So our job was to keep them occupied until the food was ready. So we played a lot of games, sang a lot of songs, did a lot of Bible stories and Bible plays, and I got my hair braided a lot. So this is another community that we helped out in called Clow Clow, and this is just a feeding program that they were doing there. So I always wondered why they gave the kids just like mountains of food, like little kids having way more food than I could ever eat. And then I realized this was the only meal that they got that day. And then I realized like how fortunate we are to have three meals a day as our basic necessity, along with like full cupboards whenever you want. And here's how they eat their food with their hands. They always wanted to feed me with their hands. I'm like, no thanks, I'm okay. And here's another cute girl. And then here's all the hands doing dishes. So all these little boys would gather the plates from the littler kids and they would do their dishes for them, which was really cool to see. How they were just like kind of being, I don't know if the moms told them to do it, but I think it was cool for me to see that they were like giving back to these women who had just been serving them so well. Here's another cute kid. So moms are busy and that's pretty well universal. So same thing in South Africa. So the solution is put your kid in a bucket so they can't get out until they get hungry. Here's another sweet picture. I just included some photos that I took. I hope you don't mind. So these ladies are some of the most amazing women that I've ever met. They have such a servant lifestyle, and they would cook the food for all the children in the community every day after school. So they got no pay, it was all volunteer, and they would cook for over 100 children regularly. It took them probably about 8 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon to cook all that food. And yeah, they just had such sacrificial lives for God, and it was so inspiring for me to see. Our job was to pour into these ladies and just help them energize them, or help energize them every week. So we would do a tea time, which actually didn't involve tea, but it was a great time for us to lead a Bible study with them and just pray for any of the needs that they had. And I think sometimes we volunteer, do good things to make ourselves feel good, but when you lay down your life to follow Jesus, you give up your right to making decisions based on personal satisfaction. And you do things to serve your Father, and these ladies just demonstrated that so well to me. So with the theme of sacrifice and a servant heart, we had the opportunity to make bricks for the houses that were getting made with 10,000 homes. So here's us gathering dirt for the bricks. So at first I was so excited to make bricks. I was like, this is so cool. My dad's going to be so proud of me. I'm making bricks. And then I quickly realized that making bricks is not fun at all. And especially when you have to do it every day in the African sun. So for me, this is a time where I really had to press into God, in God for my strength. And I looked at the ladies who had sacrificed so much of their time for the needs of others. And I felt like God was testing me and asking me, are you serving me or are you doing what's comfortable and easy? So I really had to look at the big picture here and just see that these bricks were going to make an orphan's home. So this lady is one of the ladies who volunteered with the feeding programs, and her name was Mama Gracious. So she had a very hard life, and she shared with me that she's HIV positive and she cannot tell anyone in her community or else she'll be completely shunned from her community and no one will talk to her. So she has to lie to some of her best friends about why she goes to the doctor so often to get medication. And she explained to me that earlier this year she had actually attempted suicide because of how heavy this weighs on her. But you would never know from the amount of joy she carries with her. So this is her family. She has two biological children and one adopted from her sister. Their names are Angel, Praise, and Princess. And she told me that her favorite thing to do in the world was to play with them, which she didn't get very much time to do with because of trying to support them. One time when it was raining, she was like, guys, come play outside. God is giving us a gift. And they played in the mud for hours. So she's just such a special woman and filled with so much joy. But unfortunately, she's a single mother and she has a lot of difficulties supporting her children. So the only way she was able to support them was through these bracelets that she made. They're really amazing. So I really wanted to help support her, so I purchased a bunch of these bracelets. If you're interested, you can come see me after the service and take a look at them as I'm selling them to help support her. So something that I really took for my time away was that God has amazing plans for all of his people, and he is faithful throughout it all. So the verse that I chose for the closing was, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So I wanted to encourage all of you and just say that God has amazing plans for you, and he wants to take each of you on an incredible adventure if you'll let him. I'm not saying you have to do YWAM, but if you feel called or led to pursue any an intimate relationship with God through something like this, please let me know, and I'd love to talk more with you. Also, I want to say thank you to all of you for just being so supportive financially and through your prayers. I really appreciated it.